Good morning. Welcome to the Water Planning and Environmental Committee for Thursday, February 26th. We'll call this meeting to order. Suzanne, can you read the roll?
Chair Miller.
Here.
Vice Chair Freehawk. Present. Supervisor Aguirre. Directors Castaneda.
Here.
Coates Hedberg.
Here.
Douglas.
Here.
Lines. Macedo.
Here.
Sorry. Oh, here.
Yeah. Myers.
Here.
Alina.
Here.
Paul.
Yes, I'm.
Roback. Vice Chair Scalzetti.
Here.
Wall.
Here.
Chair Miller, you have a quorum of the committee.
Thanks, Suzanne. It's nice to see a pretty full room. Sometimes it gets a little sparse, but it looks like everybody's here for all the excitement part. Obviously, I'll call on the directors who are on the committee first if you have questions, then we'll move to the other directors. Are there any additions to the agenda?
We have none.
Are there any public speakers in the room or online?
If there are public speakers that would like to speak, please use the hand raise feature. There are none.
Thank you. For more than a year, staff has worked on an input to member agencies to prepare updates for the Water Authority's Urban Water Management Plan, Water Shortage Contingency Plan. It's a mouthful. Beginning in March, there will be several activities related to these plans. In the early part of the month, there will be a public review of the draft of the plans will be released for a 45-day review and comment period. At the March committee meeting, the board will receive an update on the plans. In April, the committee will hold public hearings on each of the plans, and the public comment period will close. And finally, in May, the board will consider approval of the two plans. The plans are due to the state by July 1. Do I have any comments by directors or my vice chairs? Okay. There are no items on consent under action and discussion. We have two presentations. Up first is Summer Adelberg, the Water Resources Manager, will give an update on the environmental mitigation program. And this is a pretty comprehensive program, and it's complicated. So Summer's the pro on this. So tell us what we need to know.
Thank you. I'll scratch out good afternoon and go. Good morning. Like you said, my name is Summer Adelberg, Water Resources Manager. Today I'm going to give an update on our environmental mitigation program, and this can be found on page 130 of the board pack. The board authorized the creation of the mitigation program as a component of the Capital Improvement Program, or the CIP, in 1982. The program develops and implements its short and long-term strategies to mitigate impacts to sensitive species and native habitats. The primary driver of this action was the designation of the California gnatcatcher as federally endangered under the Endangered Species Act. This designation brought new permitting and regulatory compliance challenges to the Water Authority with regards to our CIP program and maintenance and activities. The mitigation program minimizes costs and delays to the CIP projects at ANFO&M by obtaining programmatic approvals and streamlining the garbage review process and regulatory compliance. To comply with the federal ESA, the Water Authority's Board approved a multi-species natural community conservation plan and habitat conservation plan, or NCCP-HCP, in December of 2010, and it became effective in 2011. This action allowed the Water Authority to obtain incidental take permits under the Federal and State Endangered Species Act for 63 plant animal species, and these permits are good for 55 years. The plan has two primary principles. One is to conservation of multiple species in their habitats by establishing interconnected preserves within our region, and two is compliance with federal and state ESA laws. In addition, the plan provides a framework under which the Water Authority implements projects including CIP, O&M, restoration of vegetation, and mitigation projects. The plan outlines which types of projects are covered, and it includes things like construction and expansion, right-of-way management, emergencies, and preserve area management. The figure on the right illustrates the extent of the CIP and O&M activities that were conducted in 2025 and implemented under the NCCP-HCP. Covered CIP projects that began construction in 2026 or anticipated to be awarded a construction contract in 2026 are listed above, and they include things like the first aqueduct treated water bifurcation project and the Ramona Pipeline Improvements Phase 1 project. In addition, the Water Authority is required to conduct habitat restoration in areas temporarily impacted by construction activities, and some of these include laydown areas, temporary access roads, and access borders for pipeline mainline projects. Most CIP projects require post-construction restoration and may also require the development of restoration plans to be approved by the wildlife agencies. The map on the right is the part of the restoration plan that was approved for the Flow Regulatory Structure 2 project in Michigan Trail several years back. A typical restoration project is maintained and monitored for 3 to 5 years. And restoration activities may include things like weed control, path management, installation of EMPs, installation of temporary irrigation, and hydroseeding and planting of native species. The photos you see here is again the Mission Trail, the FRS2 project. On the left is immediately following construction, and then you go to year one and year three, where it doesn't even look like you were there. As a part of the MCCP, the Water Authority entered into agreements with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and California Department of Fish and Wildlife to manage a number of habitat management areas, or HMAs, in San Diego County to provide habitat-based mitigation. The plan requires that impacts on water authority activities are fully compensated by providing the required acres of appropriate mitigation credits from one of our HMAs. Mitigation credits must be available prior to commencement of construction or maintenance of public activities. And mitigation credits are tracked to confirm that the water authority's conservation commitments are being met and credit availability aligns with near-term project impact projections. In addition, the Water Authority staff is required to report out on these on an annual basis. The mitigation credits are typically categorized in 2 different categories, either upland or wetland habitats. The majority of credits available for the Water Authority are upland habitats at our San Miguel Mitigation Bank. And currently, we're developing a mitigation site made primarily wetland habitats at the San Luis Rey Mitigation Bank. This HMA is located within the Water Authority's right-of-way along the San Luis Rey River. The project will create, restore, and enhance approximately 42 acres of riparian wetland and upland vegetation. Upon notice to proceed, approximately 4 acres of credits were made available to the Water Authority in advance of the project completion. Construction of the HMA began in November 2025 with grading, trash removal, grubbing, and clearing. And a portion of this project was funded by a $3 million Water Smart Grant from the Bureau of Reclamation. This project is preparing to install irrigation and conduct intensive weeding efforts before installing native seeds and plants in the fall of 2026, and anticipated to be completed by 2031. The San Miguel HMA is located in the city of Chula Vista near Mother Miguel and San Miguel Mountains. Currently, the property is owned and managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service San Diego National Wildlife Refuge. In 2017, staff determined that there was an excess of upland mitigation credits for San Miguel, and the board authorized sale of up to 240 credits mitigation credits. Today, approximately 31 acres of mitigation credits have been sold with a value of $980,535. These funds, as authorized by the board, are reserved to offset costs of the mitigation program, including funding management activities to obtain authorized coverage for Kino Shiver Spot Butterfly at San Miguel. In 2025, Water Resources staff here on the left engaged the public about the success of our mitigation program at the Multiple Species Conservation Program Annual Workshop in the city of Chula Vista. The poster shown here was used to discuss the overall restoration plan for the San Luis Rey habitat management area and outline the efforts the Water Authority is undertaking to ensure that mitigation credits are available so that construction and maintenance projects can proceed on schedule. And that was my presentation.
Thank you. So, any questions before we administer the test? So this is pretty complicated. I asked Summer a lot of questions at the pre-briefing. Why do we have the credits? Why do we need the mitigation? Where do they apply to? a lot of us know, and maybe some of us don't know. But the wetlands project that we just approved, that she's talking about, is the project we approved that large amount of construction costs. We called, we had the discussion about PLAs. It's about a $14 million project, somewhere around there. And it's very valuable land because wetlands are scarce. So selling credits for wetland is at a premium. I think Summer said it could be upwards of $500,000 an acre of value. Whereas a mountainside, we've got lots of mountainsides, so upland areas are not nearly as expensive because they're more common. You can find more, you can't find more wetlands, so to speak. So part of the difference in cost and benefits is the fact that bush property is more readily available. And she's got a wealth of information if anybody wants to ask any more questions. So we're at the pre-op.
Great, thank you. Summer, thank you so much for your presentation. I really appreciate you bringing this item before us. We have to talk about how important our CIP projects are for reliability, one for our customers. And I think without this program, we wouldn't have a CIP. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Director Roback.
So I was looking at the map from San Miguel plantation restoration property, and you know, I'm trying to get some perspective of where exactly that's located. So I know it's out, you know, servicing.
Yeah, you're going on the 125 south to Chula Vista, and then just an open area just north of that area, San Miguel and the San Miguel Mountains are right there, and it's situated just south of Sweetwater Reservoir and the two mountains that you see. There's a larger preserve that makes up a part of the San Miguel conservation area, and we just have a small chunk, well, large small chunk of it.
Thank you.
Director Heidemann.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. You actually answered a couple of my questions, but for Summer, so you have 240 acres, we sold 31. So how do you determine the value of the acres per acre? And how do you determine what we need for our CIP and what you market? And then how do you market the land?
So I'll start with what we determine. We, at a broader scale, we use our master plan suite of projects to do the first blush of what we need for the long-term 20-year look at projects. And then every year on an annual basis, we'll evaluate the CIP schedule. We are required to have enough mitigation for 2 years in advance of projects. So we'll take it up to 1, 2 years, and then 20 years. How we value the mitigation costs, I'll just put it into perspective. We bought San Miguel in 2003 for $2.463 million, which is approximately $3,000 an acre. We're currently selling mitigation credits for $49,500 an acre, and that's based on the current market value for upland mitigation that has Coastal California mass capture operation. And we evaluate that annually to, you know, biannually to just make sure we're at the right price point.
Thank you.
A little bit better deal in the Delta Islands. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Summer. You went through a really complicated idea there really quickly. So now we're going to move on to Efron Lopez, our Senior Water Resource Specialist. He's going to give us the good news on the water supply and all the storm rain that we've got in the Sierra.
Efron. Yeah, good morning, Chair Miller, members of the committee and board. I'm Efron Lopez, and today I'll be providing you an update on the current hydrological conditions statewide, the Colorado River Basin, and local levels. So while the recent storms have really improved parts of California, the big picture remains mixed depending on the region and the metric that we're looking at. So it's important to distinguish between rainfall and snowpack and precipitation and then the runoff and short-term weather versus water year trends. So with that, I'll start with the most recent snow survey results. This slide shows the January 30th snow survey results from Phillips Station. Statewide, the snow water equivalent measured at about 59% of average, and at the Phillips Station, it was closer to 46% of average. And while the snow depth was 23 inches, what really matters is the water content in the snow, and that is currently below normal conditions. So as you know, the snowpack functions as California's largest reservoir, so releasing that water gradually into the spring. So at this point in the water year, we are starting from a deficit, and future storms will need to be, you know, above average. Have to outperform to close that gap for the water year. Zooming in further to Northern California, the Northern Sierra snowpack is currently at 53% of normal. Northern California has received snowfall, but much of it has been low density snow or rain at lower elevations. And as a result, the snow water equivalent is that metric that actually matters for runoff. Once we get warmer weather, that remains well below average. And this reinforces why storms alone are not enough to tell the full story. Elevation and the kind of snow, the snow quality really matter. When we look at total precipitation, instead of the snowpack, we're seeing a little bit of a different story. The Northern Sierra Aid Station Precipitation Index is at about 112% of average, indicating above average precipitation so far this water year. So on paper, California appears to be doing quite well. But as we saw on the previous slide, much of that precipitation has now translated to, hasn't translated into a significant snowpack. And that's why you have precipitation totals and water supply outlooks, they don't usually always align. This slide shows storage levels at major state reservoirs across the state, and overall they are doing great. They're at or above their historical averages for this time of year. Facilities like Oroville and San Luis Rain Reservoir are benefiting from carryover storage from previous wet years, and stored water is really helping to offset the below average snowpack that we're seeing so far this winter. So again, while snow conditions are lagging a bit, reservoir storage is pretty strong and stabilizing across the state. As you can see here, the blue is water, that's the storage, and there's a lot of it. So here we have Lake Oroville. It's a good example of what we just saw. As of late February, Oroville is at 80% of capacity and roughly 125% of average. So the storage is tracking great compared to recent years, again, reflecting that carryover storage. As of the latest update, the Department of Water Resources has increased the state water project allocation to 30% of requested supplies, and that's reflecting improved conditions from those mid-winter storms we received. The Colorado River Basin is currently, the precipitation is currently at about 91% of average, and the snowpack is at 69% of normal. Lake Powell is 26% full, and Mead is 34%. So the recent February storms, they helped somewhat, especially in Colorado and Utah, but the storage still remains unconstrained. So the bottom line is, even near normal precipitation is hasn't been enough to drive strong reservoir recovery because the snowpack is lying in it. Bringing it back here to San Diego County, we've had a very strong year to our water year. Through February 24th, Lindbergh Field has recorded 142% of normal year-to-date, and Ramona 107% of normal. Even month-to-date, our February both stations are above average. That reflects that solid early season storm activity across the region. So again, locally, precipitation has been strong. Looking ahead, NOAA indicates that La Niña conditions are currently present. That means that, historically, the storms tend to shift north, increasing the likelihood of drier than average conditions for Southern California. Those storms can still occur, as we've seen. NOAA is projecting that there's a 60% chance of transitioning to ENSO neutral between February and April. That means that, there's no strong signal towards a wet year or a dry year. So overall, conditions remain a little bit uncertain. And looking ahead, this is a 3 to 4 week outlook for temperature and precipitation for Southern California. The signal means towards warmer than average temperatures for March and slightly drier than average conditions, which again are consistent with that La Niña pattern. So we'll continue monitoring the snowpack, reservoir storage, and climate indicators closely as we move through the remainder of the water year. And that concludes my presentation.
Thanks, Efren. Great questions, Director Paul.
Thank you. I did have a question related to slide 72 and 73. One looks like a lot of deficit. It says 53% of normal. And when you look at the graph, it looks like less than 53%. But then the second graph looks great. And you could explain.
So this is actually measuring
snowpack
content.
Microphone.
So the Northern Sierra snowpack, it's measuring the snow water content. That's what it's not tracking the percentage, but it's closer to the snow water content in the water, in the snowpack. And here, precipitation is capturing snow and rain all at once. So that's why these numbers are higher, because we're getting more rain instead of snow.
Okay, so the second graph is really important. The one that looks better is...
It looks more promising, but, you know, for Northern California, they really depend on that snowpack. It's like the frozen reservoir, and if it's tracking at 52% of normal, that means that in the summer months, when, you know, more water is needed, the reservoirs can refill, that's not tracking very well.
So we do need to...
Yeah, that needs to
roll up. You can certainly both.
Exactly. Yeah, you can see, you know, water year 25 last year was well above average. That's the green line. And the year before that, it's also tracking above normal. And then the red line is where we are now.
Okay. So the first graph is not a subset of the second. They're both two distinctly different things.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Director
Heidemann?
Thank you.
I was curious to recite on that.
Okay. Just wanted to be called. All right. Thanks, from I think you're going to start challenging Pearson, the bad news guy. Colorado, the report I got from that from Colorado is not quite as gloomy, but still it's way below average. They are getting some snow, but it's not going to be a bonus year. It doesn't look like this. Case scenario, maybe we can get to average if we have some more storms. Again, to relate to a point on my cabin in Boise, usually has 3 feet of snow on the ground right now. We barely have an inch or bare spots. So it's hot. The entire northwest as well as the southwest is dry. There's not much snow anywhere. Okay, so that completes our presentations. With no more information items. Go to closed session. Unless anybody's got some stories they want to talk about on the report, I'll be told that.
No, okay, sorry. Mr. Miller, lunch is here. It's set up, so we'll break for lunch, take 45 minutes for lunch, and come back for imported water.